Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, December the 7th, the Pope challenges ambassadors to sow seeds of hope in a world weary of war. One of the newly created cardinals speaks with Vatican Radio about his appointment. But first, 26 Palestinians were killed in an Israeli attack targeting homes in the Gaza Strip. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Israeli forces continue their attacks with aerial, land, and maritime bombardments across the Gaza Strip, as the number of civilian casualties and destruction of residential buildings and public infrastructure continue to rise. In a recent attack, at least 26 Palestinians were killed in an Israeli attack targeting homes. Nathan Morley reports.
According to the Al-Auda Hospital, Israeli strikes were aimed at homes in the Nusayriyat refugee camp. In addition to those killed, 60 others were injured. Mahmoud Bassel, the civil defense agency spokesman, said the attack took place on Friday evening and damaged multiple neighboring houses. Elsewhere, Israel's Air Force struck a Hezbollah operative in southern Lebanon on Saturday. The IDF said its operations were directed against several terrorist activities in southern Lebanon that posed a threat to Israel. A ceasefire brokered by the United States and France went into effect last month. Meanwhile, rebel forces in Syria have reportedly taken most of the Deraa region. Their goal is the overthrow of President Assad's regime, according to the leader of the Islamist militant group HTS. Their leader is Mohammed al-Jalani.
The seeds of the regime's defeat have always been within it. It has been effectively dead since that time. However, the Iranians attempted to revive the regime, buying it time, and later the Russians also try to prop it up. But the truth remains, this regime is dead.
Late on Friday, Reuters reported that Kurdish-led forces had seized control of Deir al-Zour. As this was happening, Russia, a key ally of the Syrian government, began urging its citizens to leave the country. At the same time, Jordan's interior ministry ordered the closure of the country's border with Syria. The United Nations said that hundreds of civilians are thought to have been killed or injured, and at least 370,000 people have been dislodged. The organization is working to assess the needs of families who have arrived at reception centers. Syria's brutal civil war began back in 2011 after President Assad's crackdown on democracy protests. Meanwhile, the Israeli Defense Forces have reinforced their presence on the Israeli annex Golan Heights as rebel forces in Syria advance to the south. The redeployment underscores Israel's concern over the escalation of the Syrian conflict. At the same time, the Lebanese army has also reinforced its deployment along the Lebanese-Syrian border. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
After 25 years, negotiations have been finalized for the EU-Mercosur, a groundbreaking free trade agreement between the European Union and four South American nations. While the countries and the EU have reached a political agreement, the deal could face challenges and protests in the ratification process from countries concerned about their agricultural industries. James Bleers tells us more in this report.
The talks and negotiations have been successfully concluded in Uruguay's capital, Montevideo. It's a free trade agreement between the European Union plus Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay and Paraguay. If ratified, the savings in tariffs and duties would exceed $4 billion annually, and it would cover 20% of global economic output, spanning a zone of nations numbering 280 million people. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen describes it as a truly historic milestone which will create huge business opportunities. The agreement was on the table back in 2019, but EU member nations didn't ratify it. The excitement of South American nations to expand and broaden their trade with the old continent isn't shared by some European nations, namely France, Italy, Poland, and the Netherlands, who are deeply concerned about the effects it could have on their beef, dairy and agricultural sectors. It would take four member states to prevent ratification of this deal for a southern common market. If this happened, it would be back to square one on the drawing board and the negotiations table all over again. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
A South Korean legislative pushed to impeach President Yoon Suk-yeol over his short-lived imposition of martial law fell through on Saturday after most lawmakers from his conservative governing party boycotted the vote. The defeat of the motion is expected to intensify public protests calling for Yoon's oust and deepen political chaos in South Korea, with a survey suggesting a majority of South Koreans support the president's impeachment. Pope Francis accepted the credential letters presented by 11 new ambassadors to the Holy See. The nations include India, Jordan, Denmark, Luxembourg, Sao Tome and Principe, Rwanda, Turkmenistan, Algeria, Bangladesh, Zimbabwe, and Kenya. In his address, the Pope encouraged them to continue fostering peace and cooperation, describing their diplomatic efforts as essential in sowing seeds of hope in the world, which he said is tired of war. Lisa Zingarini reports.
Welcoming the 11 diplomats in the Clementine Hall, Pope Francis remarked that their mission begins at a particularly critical time for the international diplomacy, as the world faces pressing challenges such as the devastating impact of climate change, especially on developing nations and the poorest members of society, armed conflicts, and the plight of migrants and refugees. These issues, he remarked, have no simple solution, nor can they be resolved by the actions of one nation or small group of states, but only through a concerted effort of all nations, which requires a patient work of diplomacy. In this context, Pope Francis reminded the ambassadors of the Holy See's ongoing commitment to fostering dialogue, reconciliation, mutual understanding and respect for the rights of each individual and people, and its diplomatic efforts to contribute to the resolution of conflicts through the exercise of its positive neutrality. Recalling that history has shown that quiet, patient and persistent diplomatic efforts inspired by mutual respect, goodwill and moral conviction can contribute to resolve even seemingly intractable situations, he said that current global problems should prompt us to look for new and innovative solutions. Concluding his speech, Pope Francis called for hope, which will be the central theme of the 2025 Jubilee, and encourage the diplomatic community accredited to the Holy See to continue working with courage and creativity in promoting bonds of friendship, cooperation and dialogue in the service of peace. Your work, often quiet and hidden, will help to plant the seeds of a future of hope for our war-weary world, he said. I am Lisa Zingarini.
During an ordinary public consistory for the creation of new cardinals on Saturday, December 7th, Pope Francis gave the red hat to 21 prelates hailing from across the globe. He had announced the consistory at the beginning of October, pointing to the fact that their origins express the universality of the Church, which continues to proclaim God's merciful love to all people on earth. Among the 21 new cardinals chosen by the Pope, there are prelates from the Ivory Coast, Ukraine, Iran, and Chile, as well as some Vatican diplomats and a Dominican preacher. Archbishop Frank Leo of Toronto, Canada, at 53 years old, will become one of the youngest members of the College of Cardinals. Ahead of the consistory, Vatican Radio spoke to Cardinal Leo about what he finds most exciting about this new responsibility.
Well, most excited about being able to serve in this new way, and what that will entail as an advisor to the Holy Father and being consulted on this, that, other issue of relevance to the Church Universal, and also meeting the other cardinals and growing in camaraderie and fraternity with them, and, you know, speaking with them and getting to know them better and see how they're living the mission of the Church in their neck of the woods. And we can learn from each other as well.
You talked there about advice for the Holy Father. Looking at the Church now, what do you think are some of the really pressing issues? And what do you think are maybe some of the things that we can do about them?
Well, I think secularism is definitely on the top list of 10. This willingness to want to build a life, a society aside from God, keeping God outside of that, that's not good. But it's a prevailing issue. So how would we help people to come to understand the importance of having a relationship with the Lord and of building their life and their family and their relationships and the choices they make around or inspired by their relationship with God and society where God is respected, where God's laws, natural law, and religious freedom, for example, among other things, are being respected and can influence the will for the betterment of the world and the common good. You know, in the world scene, of course, we've seen coming out of COVID a dreadful polarization, divisions within families, within schools, within societies. And that's something we really need to get our head around and how to counter that polarization and division that we find in different ways and different parts of the world and in our own lives.
That was Cardinal Frank Leo of Toronto, Canada. For composer Hans Zimmer, music holds the power to confront the challenges of our time and offer a voice to those suffering, whose suffering often goes unnoticed. Speaking ahead of the Vatican's Concert with the Poor on Saturday, December 7th, Zimmer reflects on how such an event is not only a source of comfort for the poor, but more importantly, a rallying cry for those who aren't present, urging them to act. In an interview with Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo, Zimmer talks about the relationship between music and the church and admits he might struggle if he were asked to compose something for Pope Francis.
When Steven Spielberg showed John Williams Schindler's List for the first time, John got up and said, "I have to go for a walk." And he came back and he said, "You got the wrong man. You need a much better composer than me." And Steven said, "Yes, I know, but they're all dead." And I feel a little bit like that about the state of music right now for the church. But that's because things have changed as well. I mean, things have changed for the church. You know, right now, all the horrible things you can say about Hollywood are absolutely true, you know. But it does one thing, which the church used to do. It commissions music on a daily basis, you know. And that's an important thing, you know, to keep musicians alive, that they have a voice, you know. So we have to find a way of being there for each other again.
And just one final question. Imagine you were asked right now to compose something for Pope Francis. Where would you start?
If you gave me 20 minutes, I could do it. If you gave me longer, I would just spend all that time panicking.
Is there anything you would like to say, a message perhaps to young musicians?
No. The only message I have for young musicians is do your thing. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anybody. Go out there and plug in, you know, turn it up to 11 and make a noise.
Thank you.
You know, whatever the neighbors say about your noise, they're wrong.
That was Oscar-winning film score composer Hans Zimmer speaking to Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo ahead of the Vatican's Concert with the Poor. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti and Francesca Merlo in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.